warm welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's win over Falkirk, preview this weekend's trip to Clyde, and there's an update with regards fullback Danny Strachan. I'm Colin Boyles, and with me once again, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Colin. Yourself?
I am very good. Actually looking forward to this one for a change. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to... I wouldn't say they enjoy it, because I do enjoy doing it every week, but after the win on Saturday, there's a bit more enthusiasm to get it recorded and praise a win rather than what we've been doing for the last few weeks.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks has been tough. Aye, not just for us doing the podcast, but for the players and the staff as well. So yeah, it's good to look forward to speaking about a win. Long overdue as well.
And it was the great weather as well, so all in all, it was a good weekend.
It wasn't bad at all, was it?
And even cracked up the shots as well. They got the first run out of the season.
I did see that on Saturday. You came up fully prepared with the shorts. I thought you were maybe actually going to be starting.
Right, let's crack on then. Falkirk on Saturday, a 1-0 win, as I said. Very good result. Very good performance again. Need to take away fair that performance and the result. I thought it was a really poor Falkirk side, really poor Falkirk performance overall. But what we'd been saying last week, looking for like a 90-minute performance. I think this was what we were looking for, and this is what we got.
Yeah, as you said last week, Falkirk was a mixed bag going into the form that they're in. I think it showed a team that wasn't really worried about relegation, but also they didn't really have much hopes really of getting the playoffs. Again, point wise, they could do it, but their performances would suggest otherwise. I thought the performance was really good. It was a more complete performance this week than fit we've had in, I would say, the last couple of months, to be honest. I think there's been any game that the performance has been there for 90 minutes, but I certainly think in periods of the game on Saturday we gave a really good account of ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy McArthur was still suspended for that one. Sammy Ferry came back for his injury. Jack Brown also started as well. Owen Cairns and Rusty dropped to the bench. Rusty was picked up an injury during the week. So there's a slight change in the setup in the personnel slightly. I think it started off as a 4-1-4-1, which is the sort of, if you like, traditional formation we play if Simon's playing. But I think as the game sort of progressed, it became more of the old 4-3-3, the wide 4-3-3. I think with the way the game was going and the way the players were being confident in the fact that they probably knew that Falkirk were there for the taking.
Yeah, I think in recent weeks I may have been calling for a slight formation change, and I think starting the 4-1-4-1 gave us a good platform to build on in the game. You've seen how Falkirk set up and how they played. As you said, we sort of grew in the game. You felt that there was something there for the taking. I think, especially in the first 5 minutes, you could see how both teams set up, and you thought he was, you know, there was something going to be in a game that afternoon. And obviously, the reintroduction of Simon Ferry coming back. We've said numerous times before how key he is when he is playing. I'm not going to lie, I was slightly concerned when I seen him in the starting lineup. He hadn't played for, you know, quite a long period of time, and in the games that he had played, like just before Christmas, he was starting games, then coming off with an injury, so I was slightly surprised that he did start. But again, if you've got a player of Simon Ferry's quality, it's difficult to leave him out when he is available.
Yeah, and when we sort of looked at the team sheet just before the kickoff, we were kind of trying to figure out, you know, what the back four was going to be, if it was going to be a back five or a back three. We thought maybe Simon might have swapped into a centre-half position, which he has done previously before he got injured. But it was Coutinho at right back, Sean Want, Jason Brown, centre-halves, and then Andy McDonald was the one at left back. So slightly different in the way that the personnel were set up, as well as the different formation as well.
Yeah, as I said, I think the formation change was the right thing to do. To be fair, Luka Katongwa, right back, he's played there a couple of times now. He hasn't done nothing spectacular, but at the same time, he hasn't done nothing really wrong either. It's not his natural position. I wouldn't say he's comfortable there either, but he puts in a good shift. He can read the game quite well, which I think even when he's playing at right back, he can sense danger. And I thought he did well to be there.
And out with the host of players that seems to have played at right back this season, out with obviously the natural right backs, he's the one who's filled in there and has seemed to be the one that's more comfortable and more suited for to that role
Yeah, like I said, I think he can read the game pretty well. That's not to say that other players who've played there aren't as good, but I think he can sense danger a lot quicker than what other players can, so he gets himself in a good position, which can nullify the effect of the opposition. So I think, you know, put him in at right back. Whilst I'm not a fan of it, because obviously he's predominantly left-footed, it's not the worst option at times to have.
And Nia Penn was the lone striker up front. It's been mentioned a few times. I noticed it was mentioned quite a bit after Saturday's game, in terms that people maybe feel he's the better option as the lone striker compared to Russell. And that's not to take away the fact that, you know, Russell's got 14 goals this season. But I think there's a lot of people, and I think myself included, think that if you are going to play that one, I think Naya's the better option, based mainly on his mobility and his tracking back, but he's closing down and things like that.
And I think if Naya could add a few more goals to his game, he'd be a really good lone striker. I think Russell and Naya, obviously, they're completely different sort of strikers. Russell's made of a focal point. You want to go in behind as such, whereas Nia Penn, he will give you that energy and enthusiasm up front, and I think that can be underestimated at times. He is a nuisance for defenders. They didn't like it, whereas I think Russell's maybe just a wee bit more reserved in the way he plays. So they link up well at the start of the season. It hasn't quite worked since then, but I think if you are just playing one, I think Nia Penn would probably be your option, to be honest.
So the first sort of 15 minutes of the game was fairly even. It was, I think you said to me during the game that it was two teams that knew the importance of the game. They didn't want to lose it. And you know, as I said, it felt, I wouldn't, cage is maybe not the right word, but there was very little in it at that opening spells.
Yeah, I think it's two evenly matched teams. Like I said at the start about Falkirk and how much aspirations are going up. I think they've got the aspirations, but their performance would suggest otherwise. And I think we also realise the importance of, you know, getting 3 points, because as you said last week, Falkirk weren't really in great form. I didn't think we had nothing to fear. They've got good players, but obviously, you know, the change of formation that we had, Simon Ferry coming back, and I think everything went in our favour on Saturday.
And I think the importance of the first goal couldn't be underestimated, really, because I think, you know, for a team except Peterhead having lost four in a row, Falkirk, you know, being so inconsistent, that first goal was going to be key, and I think that probably played into that, you know, why it was so even.
Yeah, I think Scott Brown said it during the week. The press, that when we do go a goal down, we sometimes lack that belief that we can get back into the game, and I think we have seen that in recent weeks. Thankfully, on this occasion, we got the opening goal of the game, and to be honest, I didn't think Falkirk showed that much really going forward. Even with the quality in their squad that they've got, I thought up until the first goal, I thought we were the better team.
I was going to say, were you surprised with the way Falkirk set up? Because they almost matched Urf set up in the fact that, you know, quite often, you know, Peter had been on top in that opening half, every Falkirk player was behind the bar apart from Griffiths, so it seemed to be, well, maybe it was negative, but it certainly wasn't a team that was looking to win the game from a Falkirk perspective.
When I looked at the game, I thought there was only really one team that wanted to win the game. I kind of was quite an even affair to start with, but I think Falkirk came up really with almost like the belief that they could win the game. Looking through their social media after the game, there's a lot of people, appeared a lot of Falkirk fans were quite disappointed with their coach's form since he's come in. It doesn't sound like he's getting off to the best of start. I don't know how long he's been there. I think he's at a relatively new appointment, but again, there's some people Falkirk calling for him to go as well. So they have been impressed by performances, and to be honest, looking at, obviously I've just seen him the 90 minutes on Saturday, wasn't overly impressed by the way they set up, the way they did things, even things like their free kicks on the touchline. It's Lee Griffiths coming all the way back to take a free kick, and we said that on Saturday, surely there's a better option. You would want Griffiths in the box as your main striker. So I think at the moment Falkirk's just lacking a bit of a style and a DNA of where they want to go.
Opening goal came on 36 minutes. Ironically, it was the first shot really on target for either side. It was a good play by Savory, who I think, again, we mentioned a couple of weeks, anything good that seems to happen, the attack comes through Grant, and his shot from range, probably, if you look at it, again, Robbie Marsh will be, you know, hugely disappointed with his part in the goal, but obviously that's the kind of thing we were talking about last week, maybe negating the lucks going our way, whereas we've got the luck with this one.
Yeah, and if you're Falkirk point of view, it's poor goalkeeping. From our point of view, if you're still playing the bingo card game, if you didn't buy a lottery ticket, you're going to get a win. And we said maybe about a month ago now that we're not taking enough shots. And I think that's a prime example. That effort that Grant took on Saturday about 4 or 5 weeks ago, that would have been played inside, or played back wide, and you wouldn't have taken the shot and got the luck from it. So I think we're deserving of a bit of luck, because it fell right into Jack's path as well, a couple of strides and he put it away. But poor goalkeeping, but good play by Grant, because quite easy in that situation maybe to open up your body and put it well past the post or well over the bar, but he got an effort on target, made a keeper save it and pushed it wide and scored.
Jack, as you say, was in for the follow-up, and if you sort of watch it again, he actually starts on the 18-yard line, and is so quick to react to what's happening, and almost anticipates maybe the keeper spilling it. And by the time that the defender has realised he's moved 5 yards by him, and it was a tiny wee finish from the corner of the 6 yard box, and you know, that was his first goal. And again, it would have been easy for him to almost rush it and try and blast it in, but he's remained calm and he's slotted it home.
Yeah, I think the best thing about it is, as you said, it's anticipation. He realises there's going to be a shot on target. They've maybe done their homework. They maybe didn't rate Robbie much, you know, a great deal. They're maybe anticipating that he's going to make an error, and he's there for the rebound. And as you said, defender sort of caught napping, and before he realises it, Jack's a couple of yards behind him, and again, a calm finish, easy to put them straight at the keeper or wide or anything. And then I think Jack's performance is the best that we've seen since he's come in, and he's deserving of his goal.
Yeah, I was going to say that was his first one. It's been a bit of stop start since he's come in. You know, he's had a start, they completed 90 minutes, and he's been off the bench, he's been on the bench, and they come on and things like that. So it's been a difficult sort of transition from him since he's come in. But yeah, I think, as you said, Saturday was certainly one of his, if not his best performance so far.
Yeah, I think it was his best performance. There was a couple of good touches that he had, and that, like I said, his anticipation for the goal as well. It'd been quite easy just to watch what was happening and let the defender clear it. He's been the first team to react, and then he got the reward for it as well.
I do think he's probably more suited for a more central position. I think winger is his natural role. I sort of think see him maybe more as a number 10, but we've got so many centre midfielders at the minute. That's maybe something for, you know, obviously the future. You know, he's got a 2.5 year contract, so he's obviously one that Jim thinks is going to be here for like a long term, and he'll obviously slot into that midfield role as and when anybody else leaves.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got the talent there and the flashes that we've seen. As you said, it's been stop-start, but I think the players that are in front of him, you know, he looks like even Ferry coming back in, but you've got Scott Brown, Hamish Richie McCarthy. There's a lot of good players in front of him, so to try and oust one of them is difficult, but, you know, he certainly put himself forward with a goal on Saturday.
And one thing we mentioned in the last couple of weeks is, though, if we go a goal behind, you get the feeling that the confidence starts to get hit by the players in the park, and the heads go down slightly, and I think that was made evident on the Falkirk side, which was incredible to think. You know, these guys are, you know, a lot of them former Premiership players, Scotland internationals, and then they go 1-0 down, and you just felt that I wouldn't say the game was almost over then. You just felt as though that they didn't have the belief to come back into it.
Yeah, I think they struggled. I didn't think they fancied it, to be honest, on the day. And the fact that we got a goal lead as well, I think your confidence grew. So I think you take the momentum of both teams. As you said, the game wasn't over because it's only 1-0. But it was 1-0, but it was a comfortable 1-0. I think that's a a weird thing to say, but I didn't think we were ever really in danger. Falkirk didn't pose that much of a threat, although they've got the quality in their team. We didn't see it nearly enough.
I was impressed with the team pressing as well. It's something that we've had seen in spells, but again, you know, that, especially that first half, it was everybody was willing to chase everything down, and you know, you're almost seeing like two or three chasing this one player at the same time and not giving the Falkirk players any time on the ball.
Yeah, I think that comes back to what Jim and Scott said in the press during the week. I think they both admitted that form hadn't been good enough and, you know, things needed to change. And sometimes you just need to hear that from your manager and your captain. It's okay saying things in the dressing room, but, you know, this was in the press, it was out in public. And I think the way that Falkirk started the game, the way we started, there was good pressing and the confidence with the goal as well. Everything just built up and, you know, the guys got the confidence. And considering the performances that we've had in recent weeks, it kind of be underestimated how important the win was, but also how good the performance was as well.
Should Jack have hit his second goal for Peterhead early on in the second half, I should say? He seemed to have done everything right. Some people thought it was him, but the two people who make the decision didn't think it was.
I think he should have. I've only seen it live, I haven't watched it back. I don't expect the referee really to be making that decision because of where he's at in the pitch. The linesman, I think, has got the better view. And I think, because the ball sort of checked up for Jack to put it over the keeper, so I think the linesman's got to be almost near enough in line, or if not, have a much better angle than the referee did. So you'd be expecting the referee to be helped by his linesman. But I think on the day, yeah, Jack should have got his second.
Yeah, I mean, same as yourself, and looking at it live, I thought it was in. The fact that the defender's cleared it and it's hit the inside of the post, which would suggest maybe it was. It's probably one of those where if the ball had been going along the deck, it's easier to judge whether it's over the line, but because it was halfway up the goal, it's much more difficult to gauge whether it was or not. And having seen it back again, probably it's still inconclusive, should we say. But, you know, again, you look at the way he got into that position and the calmness he had just to chip it over the keeper and almost get it in, you know, probably did deserve it. Graham up in the tunnel blaring the music.
He thought it was in.
While the game was still on the go. Another comedy moment for Graham. But, probably should, maybe would have deserved it. But, again, looking at where the position of the linesman is, he's probably not up to play. And it didn't affect the result in the end, thankfully. Had Falkirk equalised, then we maybe would be talking about it a bit more.
Yeah, it'd be more controversial had Falkirk equalised. I think the linesman maybe got to be in a slightly better position. But having said that, as you said, the build-up play was good. And I think, again, with the confidence that Jack got for his first goal, allowed him to try something like that. Had he not scored the first and things weren't going away, I'm not sure he would have tried it, but he probably deserved the reward for it with the goal, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
Kind of like it was the 78th, 79th minute before Falkirk actually got their first shot on target. And again, we talk about Brett Long in goals this season, the amount of times he's had very good saves, decent saves. I think it's just a particularly comfortable save for him. It's at a good height for him, and it's doing low, but the fact it's almost 80 minutes in the game and he's had virtually 90 the whole game, he's still switched on.
Yeah, credit to the defence. You know, we've been a bit critical lately about the goals that we've conceded. I don't think it's a coincidence Jason's come back in and we've looked a lot more solid, especially on Saturday, so it's a clean sheet. Brett did well again. We've mentioned numerous times how well he does for us, the concentration that he needs when he's not called upon much. A goalkeeper needs it. Yeah, I thought the back line played really well.
Gary Fraser come on as well, and again, and we'll come to Gary Fraser in a minute, but he almost got Scott Brown in for a second goal. Terrific play by Gary on the near touchline, pinging a ball up the line for Scott Brown. And again, we were, you know, maybe slightly critical of much for the goal, but he saved Scott Brown's shot again. So again, still creating chances even at that late stage of the game.
Yeah, there's key players coming back. Obviously, Gary Fraser's been out for so long, and it was a cliche of the feels like a new signing, and he does. Mm-hmm. He is such a key player as well. Simon Ferry coming back in, everything just went right for us on Saturday. And it's been a long time since we've been able to say that. You know, everything went our way, and you know we got the result for it.
As you said, Gary's been out for a long time. It's just his fourth appearance off the bench. I think he's now totaled 45 minutes over those four games, but I've been really impressed with him. I mean, it doesn't look as though he's missed a beat, and I think certainly you can see he was just full of confidence, and he just seemed to be everywhere in that sort of 10 minutes that he was on the pitch as well.
Yeah, he seemed to play a pass and it left his foot, but it was going back to him. He literally seemed to be everywhere. Yeah, it's good that he's building up the minutes. Wouldn't it be surprised going by you know, his fitness if he got a start, you know, maybe towards the last game or second last game. I think he deserves it. He's worked really hard to get back, and yeah, he deserves the credit that he's getting.
Well, I'm genuinely looking forward to seeing him back next season, you know, having a full pre-season.
Yeah.
If he does choose to come back right enough, which I hope he does. But you know, I think we know when he arrived, started the 1920 season, I think he was low in confidence. He wasn't the Gary Fraser that we've sort of come to know now.
Yeah.
I think he's in an environment now where he's been able to build up his confidence, not just obviously on the field, but off the field as well. He can tell that, and you know, come next season, as I said, with a full pre-season under his belt, it will feel as though it's a brand new player, and what a player he will be.
Yeah, once he gets his confidence back, you're starting to see little glimpses of it now. Anyway, we get a full pre-season under his belt, and get back into that midfield role, which he does really, really well. In fairness, and I think we've got a really top player there, to be honest.
Final point on Saturday's game, then, was the sending off Jamie Wilson, two yellows. You talk about making an impact off the bench. he did exactly that. I think he came on, what was 75, maybe 20 minutes to go, something like that. And just for that full time he was on the bat, he was just getting involved in absolutely everything. The very first thing he did when he came on was concede a foul, and that just kind of summed up for the rest of it. No real complaints. I don't think he will have any complaints about his two yellows. Certainly his manager shouldn't have any complaints about it, but certainly... you look at that, the ride was coming.
Yeah, I think from the manager tell him you can make a difference. I think he was meaning a more positive impact. He came on, as you said, the first thing he did was commit a foul, two or three, and then that last one as well for the second yellow. No qualms about any of them, to be honest. I think he can't, if I remember correctly, I think he got the red card shown to him and he actually ran off the pitch. Normally there'd be a disagreement or a slow walk off. He was straight down the tunnel. Not sure if he'd a night out or something planned in Falkirk or not, but disappointing if you're a Falkirk fan, you know, watching that. You've got a player on to try and change the game and do something like that and get really poor.
But you look at he obviously got booked quite early on when he came off, but and then still got himself involved. You look at somebody like Rico Katongo, who's booked quite early on in the game and went through the whole game not getting himself involved in anything else. That's just the discipline of the two players, or certainly lack of discipline between with Jamie Wilson in this stage. I mean, the second booking could have easily been a straight red.
I think different angles and certain referees might have deemed it a red card, to be honest. I was surprised. Like I said, it could have easily been a red. I wouldn't have been surprised had a red card and a straight red being brandished. And again, it's that self-discipline. You spoke about Rico there as well. Certain players can get booked early on and go through the rest of the game and they really commit a foul but still be able to do their job. Falkirk lads come on and yeah, he's not exactly set the world alight with it.
So all round then, as I said at the beginning, it was a really good team performance, and it was a team performance that we were looking for. I don't think anybody really struggled in that game. I think everybody, Taman, played really well.
Yeah, this is the standards that the guys set. We only base them on the standards that they set, and maybe we've fallen slightly below par on that. And you know, in the last couple of months. that's the sort of performance you're looking for. It was an almost complete 90 minutes. And it's come at a crucial time as well. I don't think many people would have fancied us to get a result against Falkirk. The 3 points, and a much needed 3 points, you know, results elsewhere as well sort of went in our favour. And it just creates that little bit of a gap and a bit of breathing room, which is exactly what you're looking for.
For me, and I think you mentioned them earlier on, Jason Brown was my man of the match. I think he had Griffiths in his back pocket most of the game. He was really quiet. And I think that's the kind of game that, funnily enough, Jason really likes when he's coming up against, how am I going to put this nicely, you know, a better quality forward.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you see players in League One that aren't the greatest, and I think maybe Jason just, his concentration maybe level just drops a little bit, whereas, you know, he's coming up against league references as he was on Saturday. We've seen him up against like Connor Salmon and things like that. He likes that battle, he likes to get involved in that kind of thing, and that actually, in a funny way, helps him perform better.
I think there was a game that 2 years ago now, going back, played Clyde, and he marked David Goodwillie out the game, to the point Goodwillie hardly got a touch. Jason just marked him completely out the game. And again, I would rate that performance by Jason Saturday up there with one of his better ends. He might disagree, but I thought the way he handled Griffiths never gave him a sniff. Maybe that's why Lee Griffiths was coming wide for free kicks, just to try and affect the game. I thought Jason hit him in his back pocket. And again, as I said, I think it's a surprise that we look at a more solid unit at the back since Jason's come back in for his injury.
Yeah, and the whole back four should be praised as well. And again, you mentioned it earlier on, but, you know, Sean wants to come in a really difficult scenario where he's joining a team in a defence that seems to be leaking goals. He's trying to get his fitness back, and again, I don't think he's done anything particularly outstanding, but his mistakes have been very, very few and far between. And like Saturday was a perfect example. He just goes and heads things and just wins it, and that's basically all you're really wanting from your defender, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Sean and Jason, I think there's only a couple of games left of the season, but, you know, I think they're starting to form a decent partnership. They sort of, one will come forward, one will stay back, and they seem to have that understanding. I think there's a better understanding with Jason and Sean than there is Andy and Sean, to be honest, Andy McDonald, that is. So yeah, I think we looked at a more solid unit on Saturday with the back line we're heading at, even with respect to Rico Tongo at right back, when he's named natural at right back. Full credit to the defence and the rest of the team as well. You know, performances haven't been as good as what they have been by the player standard. So yeah, I thought everybody to a man was really good on Saturday.
We mentioned him earlier on, but I think another contender for man of the match was Niall Payne. He led that line so well. He just this endless energy and just running, which again, it doesn't give that Falkirk backline any time in the ball whatsoever.
He's a nuisance. I think going back a couple of weeks now, or maybe a month or so, James McPake said that for Dun, you know, when Niall Payne played against Dundee, that Niall was an absolute nuisance for his defence. And it's no surprise that we seem to get good results when Niall's playing, and you get his effort and energy up front. It would just be brilliant to try, you know, if he got more goals into his game as well. I think he'd be a really good striker.
He's not going to win a lot of headers, let's be honest with you, but what he does is he does affect whoever he's jumping with. I mean, he's still putting the effort to try and win those headers, and sometimes, you know, the defender will try and hide it and it comes off the back of his head or back of his body. He's still there. He's making sure he's not giving the opposition any time in the ball.
I don't think winning headers is really Naya's game. I think getting the ball on the feet, coming deep, allowing other players into the game as well. I actually think he holds up the ball pretty well as well, actually. He'll get the ball, allows runners in behind. He's a nuisance for defence, like I said, and I think, yeah, he slightly goes under the radar because he doesn't get as many goals. Mm-hmm. But I think when he's not playing, the ground that he covers doesn't then get covered when he's not playing, if that makes sense. And I think you allow either the opposition defences a lot more time in the ball, and they can pick out passes better. And it's we've said numerous times now, we get caught through the middle quite often. You allow the defence to hit a ball, they can pick out a pass. And Niall's playing up front with that lone striker, he doesn't give the defence that option.
And he does like to run with the ball as well. You can see his pace out wide as well. Simon Ferry did get the man of the match. He got 80 minutes. What do you think of his performance?
Yeah, like I said, I was slightly worried when I seen the team line up, and they played for so long, and obviously when he had been playing, he'd come off injury. But I think when you've got a player with the class of Simon Ferry, he's got, he dictated the game. He, his communication as well. He, you know, players round about him know what they're expected of them. They know what to do. And he's a leader, and I think, you know, over the last couple of months we've missed that. And, you know, it was 80 minutes we got out of Simon, but it was a much improved team performance, and it just shows you the difference a really good player can make to your squad.
The bonus on the back of the victory was that East Fife had lost 3-0 to Arlo 1, Dumbarton drew 0-0 with Montrose, which might be a decent point, but for us, I mean, it just means that we're stretching that lead a little bit as well. So as things kind of stand, Alan was on 36, Clyde's on 36, we're on 31. We've now got a 4-point gap on Dumbarton, who are on 27, and we've increased the gap to 8 points now over East Fife. So just suddenly, you know, where East Fife were just chipping away at that gap, we've now increased it again, back up to 8 points. Obviously, still 15 points still to play for, and those two games against them are still going to be crucial, but, you know, it's just a little bit more, a bit more breathing space again.
Yeah, you said we've got the 4 point gap. I think once you've got more than not a one game, so, you know, a more than a 3 point swing, I think you've got that slight breathing room. But it's nice to say you can rest on your laurels and think that the job's done. We've still got games against Dumbarton and East Fife to come, but the fact that Dumbarton drew, you've got to think their confidence as well. They maybe think it's a good point against Montrose to come in after the game, find out we've beaten Falkirk, their confidence as well, maybe just taking a dip because the gap's extended, but we've got the win, our confidence will be up. Yeah, I think it could be, looking back at the end of the season, I think this weekend could be a crucial one.
Okay, so moving on, for some of you eagle-eyed people, early on in Saturday maybe had noticed that Danny Strachan was doing some warm-ups with the team. I think the good news is, and I think it probably will get confirmed by the club later on in the week, we should say, is Danny is back with the Peterhead squad. Whatever the situation was, seems to have been rectified, which is good, and it's good to get him back in again. And it's somebody that, as I said, whatever the situation was, it wasn't through his doing. He's just been a victim of it, and it's now been rectified, so it's good news for him, and it'll be good news for us as well to have another player of his kind of quality.
Yeah, the situation was through no fault of his own, but delighted that he's back. He's going to be back in training as well, and amongst with the boys. He's a lad that wants to play football, and I think, you know, that should be highlighted as well. He just wants to play. He's willing to learn as well. You know, you've got the experience with the players around about him. You know, I think he can learn quite a lot. He just needs that freedom to go and play. So hopefully over the next couple of weeks, he can get some game time under his belt as well.
Yeah, and it's somebody that really wants to play for Peterhead as well. I mean, he's a Peterhead loon, so yeah. Why not get him in? And as you said, it's going to be good for him. Unfortunately, it's only going to be for the final five games. Whether or not he's going to be involved, I don't know, but at least he's back involved with the squad again.
Yeah, it's a disappointing campaign for Danny. Like I said, it's through no fault of his own. But hopefully in the next five games, he can maybe get back in the squad and back in the match squad as well. I think that would be massive for him to end his season. He's still a young guy. He's got a lot to... he's got a bright future in the game. I really think he does. He wanted to play for Peterhead. Obviously, for last season, he wanted to come back. It's just unfortunate the way things have worked out. But yeah, hopefully in the next five games, he gets a run out.
And again, much like a lot of the guys as well, he's a nice guy. We've spoken to him a few times, and we've got a lot of time for Danny as a person as well. So when you see something like that happening, you really do feel bad for him. Although it's got nothing to do with us, really. But, you know, as I said, because he's such a nice guy, you feel bad for him, and you just want him to be doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, not sure how Danny feels about it, but I think it's a wasted season for him, really, in his development. He's hardly kicked a ball this last couple of months. Well, he hasn't kicked a ball
since
January for us. You think at the stage he's at in his development for his career, to miss out on, you know, argument's sake, say he doesn't play again this season, it's best part of 6-7 months that he wouldn't be playing competitive football. So it's a real shame for him, but like, the positive is it's been resolved, he's back in his squad, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks we'll see him lining up at right back.
Yep, so we've now got two away games coming up, away to Clyde, which is our next opponents, and then Dumbarton, which I think is going to be the crucial game. Elsewhere, Alloa are against Dumbarton, East Fife play Airdrie. If you look at those two games, you would suggest that East Fife are going to struggle to get anything against against Airdrie, given you know how close they are and how close they are feeling to getting that to Cove. Dumbarton coming up against the team against Alloa, who are in a bit of form. So, although again we should be looking at our own results, it's another opportunity to increase that gap again.
Yeah, I think Airdrie will be a bear with a sore head after their goal that they conceded by Cove on Saturday so late in the day as well. So there'll maybe be a point to prove, and you know maybe get a couple of goals against these five. I think that could be a very difficult game for them. And again, if Alloa can take one off Dumbarton, preferably a win, and just keep that gap at the bottom, I think would be the ideal situation. We've got a tough game against Clyde. They're a wee bit hit and miss over the last couple of weeks. We've had good form in January, but sort of just dipped lately. But again, Clyde's a place that we've gone to before and gotten good results, good performances. One of the best performances Jim's had was doing at Clyde. So we've definitely got him. We're Walker. It's just a case of hopefully using that confidence we got for Saturday and taking it into the game against Clyde.
Yeah, there hasn't been much between the two sides in the previous meetings, the three games that we've played already. We'd obviously beaten 3-2 early on in the season. I think we were kind of sort of firing on all cylinders early on there. Then there's been the two draws, the 2-2 down there, we were 2-0 up, ended up drawing at 2-2, and then the 1-1 here, where Scott Brown scored a late equaliser. So, as I said, there's been no much in those games so far, and I think it probably will be another tight one.
I actually think it's two evenly matched teams. when you put it on paper, I think they're similarly matched. And yeah, obviously we've mentioned that a few times now. We were 2-0 up against Clyde, sort of threw it away, and then also there was a late one for Scott Brown last time they were up. I think, you know, if we can put in a good performance, I think Clyde is one of them teams that you should fear going to. I think they're a wee bit hot and cold, a wee bit like ourselves, but certainly think it's a game that we can get a positive result from.
Yeah, they've just got the one win in their last eight, and they've had draws against Airdrie, Montrose and Falkirk, so I just wonder whether or not losing their sort of captain, their talisman at the end of January has maybe coincided with their run of form. You know, you lose a big player like that, it probably will affect you.
Yeah, I think we've seen how important Goodwillie is to Clyde when he was there. I think to replace his goals is difficult, especially in League One. Everybody's looking for that sort of striker. Their form, as you said, 1-1-8. They've picked up what you think is decent points, but then, you know, having drawn against Falkirk, would that be a good result? They're a wee bit hit and miss. I think their form's a wee bit like Falkirk's, to be honest. I think that's why they're next to each other on the table. They're a wee bit, you know, they're neither worried about relegation, they're neither going to get in the playoffs either. So again, it's they're twice in between, which is maybe a good time to play Falkirk and Clyde. And again, if we can get a positive result, I think it would be that positive for us.
I think you said earlier that they're sitting on 36 and Barton's on 27, so there's a 9 point gap there. I think probably their Clyde's form, you know, December, January kind of time is probably done enough for them to keep away from it. But you know, since the end of January, they've only scored 7 goals in their 8 games. So just as well they got that kind of points on the board earlier on, because I think, you know, a few months ago we said that they were well and truly out of it. But you know, 9 points. Although having said that, Dumbarton are, you know, they're going backwards. Whereas it being a team that's maybe on form, 9 points is a big gap. 9 points is a big gap anyway, especially with only 5 games to go. But I think that they, I'm going to say they maybe just switched off slightly, but I think that they're far enough that they're not going to get involved in this relegation battle.
Yeah, I think they're fine, even if we do beat them on Saturday. I think they've got really anything to worry about. Maybe, you know, get another couple of defeats and a couple of wins for Peterhead or Dumbarton. I think they might get slightly twitchy, but as you said, I think the gap of 9 points with 5 to go is too much. And I think there was calls in November, sort of December, for Donny Lennon to go at Clyde, but they managed to pick up their form, and as you said, just as well, because obviously Goodwill is left and they've struggled to score goals. So they might think it's an important game just to almost seal their position in the league. they'll be feeling that a win against Peterhead could do it.
Yeah, it's funny because if we'd, you know, won that game doing there and maybe had gone on to win it 3 or 4-0, he probably would have gone, been gone
yeah,
after
yeah,
that
I
game.
It was then,
but then it was just after that they seemed to have they hit their form. So, you know, after Saturday's game, confidence should be high. I think confidence within the camp is high anyway. But I just think that, you know, going into this game, there should be no really fear of anybody now.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I think it's maybe the right sort of team to play as well. As I said, I don't think they've got anything to worry about going downwards, but also they're not really going to be in that conversation, I think, for promotion playoffs either. So it's that team that's twixt in between, and maybe they've got nothing really to play for, so I think it's a good time to play Clyde.
Yeah, and one thing I was going to mention there for Saturday was the atmosphere within the stadium. I know previous weeks, you know, there's almost been a, I think you mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, the word was apathy. It was kind of like, oh, well, we're making what we're going to expect here, but it just seemed to be a different feeling within the stadium on Saturday. I don't know what it was, but it's certainly, I think, I don't know if the team reacted to that or the fans actually reacted to what was happening in the park. One way or the other, it seemed to be a better atmosphere, and it certainly lifted the team, I think.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle because the fans feed off what the players give on the pitch, but the players need something for the fans to be able to perform.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you said, the atmosphere was really good. I think there was at one point there was a tackle, just some sort of, in front of us, and you know, they got a round of applause and a cheer for the crowd, and thinking that hasn't been there in recent times. But
yeah,
again, the players get the confidence, they start playing good football, you start you get support of the players, and that feeds into the crowd, and it becomes a really good platform for both the fans and the players. A good performance by the players, and again, the fans responded to that as well.
And you can tell by the reaction after the final whistle, not just by the players, but the fans in the stadium as well, just how big that 3 points was.
Yeah, I think it's a massive 3 points, and again, going back with combined with the Dumbarton result as well, that 4 point gap, I think the weekend just gone could, when you look back at the end of the season, I think it could be a weekend that maybe just shaped up how the league finished.
Jim's going to have a bit of a problem on his hands because Andy McCarthy is going to be available again after suspension. There was nine on the bench, nine was named on the bench on Saturday. So after Saturday's game, Andy, who you know, has probably been one of our better players this season, I think he's up there with probably one, if not the best player for us this season. You know, does he come straight back into it? This is the thing, you know, you look at it and who does he drop? That's the thing. Everybody, you know, we're praising everybody on Saturday and how well they played. Does anybody else get back into the team?
I think we're going to need two buses going down to Clyde, aren't we? just for the team and the management alone. Yeah, I mean, it's a good situation to be in. Again, Jim's had problems before with, you know, lack of players, so thankfully we've got a situation now where we've maybe got too much players, and it's Jim's job over the next couple of days to plan what team he's going to go for. I think I would hazard a guess that McCarthy would come straight back in. Who goes out, I don't know. But then you've also got with Ryan Duncan be back. I think he'd maybe still be away with Scotland, would he?
He'll be back. His last game's Tuesday, so he'd be back in the company again. So he'd be available again next
year. Yeah, and then you've got Russell McLean with his injury. It was a slight knock. He could be back in contention. It's good selection headaches to have. Simon Ferry, is he capable of playing another, you know, best part of 75, 80 minutes? And like I said, Jim's had problems before by not being able to name much on the bench. Now he's got the other toss of the coin where he's got too much players. Frankly, it's a decision that he's to make, but I would think Andy would come straight back in.
And the thing is as well, we're assuming that Simon's coming through that game unscathed. Now he's played 80 minutes. I guess the injuries is hard. It'll be a case of see how he reacts after the game rather than saying, well, he's played 80 minutes, he's doing fine. Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be available for again for next week, because you know, never know what will happen in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and then on the horizon just after that, you've got Dumbarton. So, I mean, do you maybe consider him, Simon Ferry, for that game, having seen the positive impact that he had on Saturday? Do you use that against Dumbarton? Thankfully, it's a decision Jim's to make. But I, like I said, I think Andy would come straight back in. Who would go out, I don't know. It might be a change of formation again. But I think when you've got a player at Andy's quality, to make him playing would be a slight error.
I think if you're looking at bringing him in and Simon playing, Scott Brown will play, you're looking at either Grant Savory or probably Hamish Ritchie would be drop out. I think one of those two.
Yeah, would. I think Grant can feel slightly disappointed if he did drop out. I thought he was good on Saturday. Gave everything you need. So yeah, we've maybe got too many players. I mean, you can also throw Gary Fraser into the mix. He's not ready for a start, but again, just shows you the quality that we've got in the middle of the park, and it's a good selection headache for Jim Mahath.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens and how many gets named on the bench next Saturday.
Exactly, yeah.
As well, so we'll look forward to that. We will be back again next week, once again hopefully off the back of another victory. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again, as I said, next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Bowers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.